and to our new Department of Energy, Dr. Ernest Moniz. These were his opening comments at the White House Summit last Thursday.
I think we turn to the current challenges, and the President's, as already stated, the President's very, very strong commitment to clean energy, a low-carbon economy, and addressing the risks of climate change. And frankly, this is the reason why I came back to Cowen. I mean, there's lots of challenges at DOE, but this is an overarching one for our society, and the opportunity to help the President in this was just one that could not be passed up. So the President, you know, I think, you know, if you kind of talk about a string of relevant to this discussion, objectives, of course, you know, the economy and jobs is critical, climate critical, clean tech is critical, reduced oil dependence is critical, and I think we're going to talk a little bit about the agenda as to how all these things come together in ways that reinforce our approach to the climate challenge. I will note that in his second inaugural address, one quote, the President said, "We the people still believe in our obligations as Americans are not just to ourselves, but to all posterity. We will respond to the threat of climate change, knowing that the failure to do so would betray our children and future generations." In that context, I like to say that I'm not here to debate what's not debatable. The threat from climate change is real and urgent. The science fully demands a prudent response. Just this month, as you know, I mean, it's kind of symbolically hitting essentially 400 ppm CO2. Of course, that's not including the non-CO2 greenhouse gases, which really pump you up to about 450 in effect. So we really need to get after this. It's an important imperative. Now the question is, what are the solutions? And this is where there is, in fact, now what I would call legitimate debate. Let's debate the solutions as opposed to the driver. So again, economy and jobs, climate, clean tech, reduced oil dependence. Let me say a little bit about some of the areas that we intend to emphasize at the department over the next 3.5 years, roughly. We're going to start with energy efficiency, classic win-win-win situation, an area that we certainly intend to try to amplify the efforts of the department and the administration with a strong full-court press. And I think we look to do this kind of, you know, across the board. It's in appliance standards, it's in buildings, it's in industrial processes, it's in vehicles, maybe just say a few words about those. I mean, appliance standards, the standards put in place in the last 4 years are projected to save almost $2 trillion over 20 years. It's important, but there's a lot more sitting there in the queue. We all know that we need to kind of accelerate the pace getting these out, and that's something that we are certainly going to work very, very hard at. In terms of buildings, just yesterday we were able to put out the scorecard on the Better Buildings Challenge, working with our partners in the commercial and industrial arenas to go after the President's goal of a 20% reduction beyond baseline by 2020, and the partners are reporting in we're on track. I mean, it's we got to keep at it. We can't relax, but we're kind of on track. You go to the industrial arena. President has put forward a manufacturing initiative. Department of Energy is one player in that, and you know, this sounds potentially like I'm reverting to MIT scientist mode and talking about high band gap semiconductors for power electronics, but when you think that through, with success in that area, big efficiency implications in our energy system. Then you go to vehicles. Of course, the President already has the very strong fuel economy standards for 2025 which will have major implications. But I'm just going to use that now to pivot away from efficiency to the vehicle sector and reducing oil dependence, which of course has three major components: efficiency, which we've discussed. Secondly, alternative fuels. Could be using our natural gas resources that we have, advanced biofuels, et cetera. And third, electrification. And that's the one that I'll mention because yesterday, again, I think a very important announcement when Tesla fully repaid its loan. You know, it's a lot of money. We're talking about, you know, approaching $500 million, way ahead of schedule. A great success story, 3,000 jobs in Tesla. Export markets developing, Consumer Reports, best car they ever reviewed, not best electric vehicle, best car they ever reviewed, Motor Trend, Car of the Year. And we know this program has been maligned in some ways, and there have been, of course, as you would expect, in a high-risk portfolio, some companies that didn't make it. But the fact is that the legislated loan loss reserve is probably going to be used up at about the 10% level. So that's pretty good, I think, indication. So we've got to keep at it, and we will. But again, I think this is an example of a great success story in terms of getting a real lift with a company like this. And it fits into a theme, frankly, with what the president has done in general with the auto industry. You know, people forget in 2009, the word toast was often used in the context of the auto industry. Today we have a healthy industry. Ford also with one of a very large loan that's led to retooling in many states for new technologies, all the way to Tesla with obviously groundbreaking technologies. A really different picture in three or 4 years. So that's just one kind of example there, and again, we're going to keep working at this kind of innovation. The Tesla story is a great one for the economy and jobs part, for the clean tech part, for the reduced oil dependence part. But what about the climate part? Well, that just tells us now we got to go back to the issue of decarbonizing the electricity sector. And we've seen in these 4 years a doubling of renewables in deployment. The president's committed to doubling that again in these next years up to 2020. You know, we've had this tremendous boon, part of the president's all the above strategy, if you like, to embrace the way the natural gas revolution has really changed the face of the energy scene here. We know it's been a significant contributor to the decreased CO2 emissions over these last years. A very, very important bridge in this context to a low carbon future. But the key is we have to use the time that we have during this bridge period to really push on the development of the technologies so that they are ready for getting out there at very, very large scale. That's what we're doing. The president's budget for 2014 certainly aligns very, very well with that strong push of clean energy. Secretary Chu, I think, did a terrific job in some sense literally changing the face of technology innovation at DOE, ARPA-E being the most known example. But in addition, we tend to forget back in 2009, using quite a bit of recovery money, the Energy Frontier Research Centers were established. These are terrific. Innovation hubs are going out there. So I think, you know, the department is really going also after new models of innovation, and we're going to build on that and do more. I won't go into detail here, but for example, those of you, the aficionados who read PCAST reports religiously, can go back to December 2010 and look at a report that recommended a quadrennial energy review, and that's a process to really lead to a new way of integrating all these threads.
I hope you agree. That is our newly installed U.S. Secretary of Energy, Dr. Ernest Moniz. He is talking about what the administration is committed to doing. We will see. Quick impressions, DR. Then we've got to close out this segment and get on with the show. We've got a couple other great short segments coming up.
Yes, well, he definitely seems to be engaged with efforts to sort of